Let's see if the TECN TV is working. That's the big question. All right, looks like it's good so far. I haven't been stopped, so I'm assuming I'm starting. Setting up my customs. Nope, looks like I'm in. And yes, indeed. We are functioning. We are live here at TECN TV, the Exceptional Conservative Network. Hallelujah. Yes, indeed. Thank you for joining me, everyone. This is great. I am now, what's it about? Well, I mean, it's a call-in program. It's issues. We discuss news. We discuss health. We discuss culture. I wanted to talk a little bit today about the goings-on in Brazil, the populist movement there, the attempt to stop this attempt to seize the country by Chinese-backed communist narco-terrorists. Also want to talk about the real insurrection, which is to say the seizing of our own government, quite frankly. Not that I don't recognize the present administration, but the real insurrection happened when this administration was gaveled through at 1 o'clock in the morning after the assembly, and I'm going to talk about that. I also want to talk about the very, very difficult subject of what happened to Buffalo Bills player DeMar Hamlin. He had a heart attack, as we know, on the field, and the elephant in the room is what is not being discussed about that, and that is that in the past 24 months, there have been more athletes who have had heart attacks and who have had heart disease that we know of around the world and who have died than had been the case in the previous 50 years. So, like anything else, like when you examine a train wreck or a plane crash or anything, you have to ask yourself, what happened? Who did this? I mean, what are the issues involved? And I think that the problem, of course, with doing that is that we're being censored. And I think people know what I'm talking about. I'm almost reluctant to get into it even now, even though I'm not on YouTube. But the fact is that we have a censorship regime right now in this country and in this world. And we have to all do our part to get over it, or else we're going to lose grip on what is true, on what is right, and what is moral, because we're going to be turning those processes over to someone else. And it, what I describe as an international oligarchy, an informal aristocracy, if you will. Okay, let me give out the number 617-396-4958. You actually can call in this program. 617-396-4958 4958 is the phone number if you'd like to join the program. If you want to chat, you can do that on Rumble, I would suggest. And that is it's rumble.com/Moskowitz, where the program is live as well. And I think that before I go further, I ought to given the fact that the program is self-sponsored, I just want to take a quick mention of my book, my latest book, which is available at Amazon Books. I'm going to hold it up. And that is The Populist Wave, The Origin and Rise of American Nationalism and Populism. So please check it out. I get into this whole thesis of mine. Yep, there it is. Kind of a delay. Oh, there we go. Yeah, there's a bit of a delay, so I'm not used to seeing that. Okay, there it is. I'm holding it up. The technology is absolutely amazing when it works, I must say. Yeah, everything seems to be working. This is fantastic. Oh, hallelujah. This is great. I am now up on TECN TV, the Exceptional Conservative Network. And, you know, I mean, I want to thank Ken McClanton, who is the owner and the manager of that network, for giving me this opportunity. It's an extraordinary network. They have a great lineup over there, great people. And I'm looking forward to working with them this year as we move in to the year to build a substantial network where we can really get down and discuss issues and do so without fear and without favor, as Rachel Maddow likes to say. Of course, she does have a lot of fear and favor. But, you know, this is it's just a great opportunity. You know, my whole goal in doing talk radio is to really develop kind of this daily experience where we all get together and we really go deeply into issues in a very serious way. Doesn't mean we kind of have a few laughs, but, you know, we do it in a way that is, it's reminiscent of the colonial times here in Boston, where I'm from, where people would stand up on a soapbox in the Boston Common, one after the other, and they would deliver speeches. And it was extraordinary. You know, this is pure democracy in the real sense, in the real meaning of the term. You know, the left likes to talk about democracy. Well, democracy is when you have free speech. I don't hear them clamoring in support, for example, of Mr. Elon Musk's efforts at Twitter to free Twitter from the censorship regime. In fact, they do nothing but attack him. It's very interesting. You know, these are people, the same people who, you know, we traditionally think of as supporters of free speech. Why are they not supporting it now? Well, I mean, in the political sense, obviously they're not supporting it because they believe that they're in power now, and they, in many ways they are. And so they control the speech, so they no longer have to literally support free speech, other than to give it a verbal nod, you know, and a kind of a pat on the back when they occasionally let in an opinion that doesn't exactly mirror their own view. I don't believe they were ever in favor of free speech. I think it was always somewhat of a sham, frankly. But more fundamentally, there is something very strange going on in this country right now. It's almost like we're divided into cults. And I have to think that this has to do, and again, maybe I'm putting on a little bit of a tin hat here, so be it. But I think it has to do with a deliberate program of mind control that I believe the informal aristocracy, as I call it, has been developing for a long time in earnest. I trace it back really to the advent of psychology and Sigmund Freud, and Freud's nephew, Edward Bernays, the author of Propaganda, which basically he was using techniques of advertising and media saturation even to get people to change their habits for his clients who were paying him to do that. I mean, an example was that he convinced women to smoke cigarettes. You know, that had not been fashionable before. He convinced the American people to eat bacon and eggs for breakfast. That had not necessarily been fashionable before. It was very uniformal. Basically, these massive ad campaigns would be rolled out to convince Americans to accept certain habits of being. It was kind of a semi-benign means of social engineering. The first real social engineering attempt in the United States actually was one that was dressed in moral certitude, and that was the amendment to ban alcohol, right? You know, you're telling us what we can do with our bodies. You know, it's one thing to regulate alcohol. We should, on a local level. The American approach has always been democratic and more based on the principle of subsidiarity, which means that local governments can decide alcohol regulation. And some governments might even ban it. They do. I mean, even here in Massachusetts, there are cities and towns in my state that are dry. They don't allow the sale of alcohol. Doesn't mean you can't have it, but they don't go that far. But, you know, this is how democracies work. Local governments are created by the people, who elect people to those governments to serve a limited period of time and who reflect their values. You know, for example, in Nevada, prostitution's legal. Do I think that's good? No, I don't. But the people of Nevada believe it is, and they elect representatives who support it and who regulate it. Now, there's a self-interest, of course, in regulating it properly. And I do believe that moral standards need to be matched with it, and particularly religious standards, such as, and I think everyone agrees with this, laws to protect the innocence and the welfare of children. Of course, that's being eroded now. We could talk about that. Anyway, I know I'm rambling a bit. I'm just very excited and very pleased to be live here at TECN-TV, the Exceptional Conservative Network. This is really, really great. I'm really looking forward to having some really interesting guests coming in. I've got a number of people coming up. I'll be announcing them as they come in. David Horowitz will be with me, I believe, on Monday, and many others. So this is, I'm just tickled. I mean, I just am so pleased that I've had this enormous breakthrough. And again, my vision has always been as a radio host, and I have done talk radio off and on for the better part of 20 years. In my pretty much predominantly in my own community of Boston, greater Boston, working at small stations and building audiences. And at the same time, being involved with sales, you know, we're talking about small operations. And I always wanted to have a group of people who would get together. In fact, for a while, I did have this in one of my stations. In Woburn, Massachusetts, where we actually, people were coming in off the street and we were sitting around a round table and just getting into issues that were on our mind and going in deep and delving in. And it was a wonderful experience. And I think it was beneficial to all of us in terms of disseminating important information, but more importantly, spiritually, I think it helped us grow. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm in the process of rolling it out, assuming that everything is functional at TECN-TV, and I will be checking it to make sure later. Once I determine that, absolutely, I do plan on a pretty major media campaign to raise the profile of the program and to let people know what we're doing here. So you can come on down, you can participate, you can join by telephone. You can even join by chatting. I might even allow people to join visually. I'll see. But you know, that's something that technically is all in the works. So anyway, let me give out the number, and then we shall continue with a couple of issues I'd like to bring up. And by the way, you are welcome to bring up issues that are on your mind. And as long as it's within reasonable bounds of community standards, I will read them over the air. I will invite you on the air, and we can spend time going over them. So the phone number, and I believe that my program is the only program right now where you can actually call in at essentially what's an internet program. The phone number is 617-396-4958. So if you'd like to join the program by telephone, you can call in. That number again, 617-396-4958. If you'd like to chat, go to the Rumble station where we are live, and that is at rumble.com/Moskowitz, and you can send me a chat. Or you can email me, of course, at charlesmoskowitz That's Moskow, WITZ, at gmail.com. And I shall get those emails and I will be happy to read them over the air as long as they're in, don't get too vulgar. You know, I don't like unnecessary vulgarity. I remember the late Jay Severin in Boston. I don't know if people remember him, but he was a great talk show host. He was brilliant, tremendous mastery of the English language. He always spoke so well, and he had such a magnificent vocabulary, and he expressed himself with such conviction and beauty and power. But he would always resort to these vulgarities and these nasty comments about people that it was just always a disappointment to me, not only because I disliked that kind of radio, but because he was better than that. I mean, it's like he didn't need to do that. He had a lot to say without doing that, but he chose to do it. He thought he was funny. I don't know, maybe it was out of a sense of insecurity. I don't know, but there it was. So I do have basic standards here in terms of propriety, but I would be happy to and interested in delving into whatever topic is on your mind this afternoon. 617-396-4958, 617-396-4958. I think that there is positive events occurring. I'm cautiously optimistic about the Republican Congress. What was the first thing they did? They basically defunded 72,000 IRS agents who would have been harassing the American people. Now, they offered a compromise, a bipartisan compromise to the Democrats, kind of calling their bluff, if you will, when they essentially said that we would agree to not completely defund this massive outlay for the IRS. Maybe instead of hiring 73,000 new agents, we'd be willing to hire, let's say, 20,000 new agents. But we will put in strictures that would indicate that they would only be authorized to go after the very wealthiest people. You know, the top 1%, as Occupy Wall Street used to call it, and only the very top corporations. But the Democrats weren't interested in that. So it kind of called their bluff, because when they first did this, that was the propaganda lie. Oh, we're putting them in because we want to go after the rich, you know, like Elizabeth Warren, my senator from Massachusetts, the millionaires and the billionaires, right? That's a bunch of bull. They were going after you and I, working schmucks, you know, people, you know, the working poor, basically. And they proved it by not supporting that compromise. So now the Republican Congress under Kevin McCarthy is starting out right in that they are defunding that whole rotten operation. Thank God. I don't know where anybody would even remotely think that was good. You know, oh, yes, wonderful. We're going to have, you know, IRS agents snooping around our lives, you know, showing up and, you know, and by the way, there's a major military component to that. Obama started that in terms of militarizing the IRS because they need to go through home invasions. They were getting training in that regard, how to invade a home. Is that what we want in this country? Do we really want to have another Gestapo? Don't we already have one with the FBI? Let's be honest. And I think that there is moves now. I mean, I think that Jim Jordan has been made head of the House Judiciary Committee, which is great. And McCarthy had to compromise in order to become Speaker, which is the Democratic way. So fine, he's the Speaker. And he made those compromises. And so far, so good. He's sticking with it. I think that an impeachment of Biden is on the table, from what I understand. An impeachment of Merrick Garland is on the table. I get a good bit of my information. Two of my sources are public, and I should mention them. Steve Bannon's War Room Pandemic is fantastic. I try to listen to it every day if I can. And also the Gateway Pundit online is also fantastic. Great source. Revolver News is also very good. Darren Beatty has been a guest on my program. He's actually up here a week ago. You can see the archive on Rumble and on my other networks to if you want to check it out. He's done some incredible work. His website and his reporters, real reporting, not what we get now, where they have looked at the actual goings on January 6th, what really happened. Okay, go there and check it out if you haven't already seen it. It's incredible. So I think that there are some very positive developments right now in the Congress. I think that the American people are going to be very pleased to see hearings on what is being called the weaponization of the national intelligence operation. Does anyone doubt that that's happened? I just want to hold up a book here that I interviewed the author years ago. I don't know if he'd come on with me again. National Security and Double Government. This is by Michael J. Glennon. Michael J. Glennon is a professor at the Fletcher School of Law and Diplomacy. He was legal counsel to the U.S. Senate. We're talking here about a major liberal, left-leaning insider, if there ever was one, a really nice guy. And he writes a book saying that basically the United States has two governments, what he calls the Madisonians and the Trumanites. The Madisonians are the sort of the open government, the government that we see, the government of ceremony, the president, the Congress, the Supreme Court, you know, our state offices. And the Trumanite government is what was created officially in 1948 when President Harry Truman signed the National Security Act, and that established the CIA, the NSC, and the DIA, and several other agencies that Glennon says now have morphed into something like 45 agencies. They've got off-budget money to the tune of who knows how much. They run businesses. They are not accountable to anyone. And they have intersectional relations with secret societies or secret services all around the world. Now, did I slip up by saying secret societies? No. In fact, these organizations are legalized secret societies. We can see this when we hear them testify before Congress and refuse to answer questions. It really started with the FBI back in the 1920s when President Woodrow Wilson established an investigatory agency in response to a genuine threat to America. That was the anarchist plot to blow up the country in June of 2019, when you had anarchists, what we today call communists, set bombs off simultaneously at about 9 different locations around the United States. I've covered this. I wrote an article which was published here in Boston about this a couple of years ago. And one of those bombs went off at the office, at the home, the personal home of Attorney General A. Mitchell Palmer. He had a young family in the house. Nobody was hurt. The front door was blown off. In fact, the man who set the bomb actually blew himself up by accident. And when he came out to see what was going on, he was aided by his close friend and neighbor, Undersecretary of the Navy, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And that led Wilson to set up the FBI, which was investigating these criminals. These talk about an insurrection. I mean, these were outright subversives trying to overthrow the government. Two bombs went off right here in Boston, by the way, in my own hometown. There was a major deportation that was undertaken of illegal aliens or even people that might have been here legally but who were involved in this conspiracy. Back then, they were just put on a big boat and sent to Russia. And that included Emma Goldman, who had been involved in the plot to assassinate William McKinley in 1900, and who was an open anarchist, but who, after being deported, expressed regret and became pro-American, but it was too late. That aspect of her career has never been emphasized by the left. But getting back to the subject at hand, that's why the FBI was set up. That's why Wilson and Palmer, after the deportation, hired this young investigator by the name of J. Edgar Hoover, who stayed in office right up till the 1970s. And, you know, it was never a good thing to have this national policing organization. But you could argue that there were reasons for it. There are conspiracies against the government nationally. There are criminal conspiracies that are too big for local and state governments to handle, like the mafia. And that for that reason, yeah, you could argue that you need to have some kind of a national investigatory agency to help local law enforcement crack these cases and take these people out, because they do threaten our safety, they threaten our welfare, they threaten the peace. You could argue that, and I would probably argue it. And of course, back in those days, the FBI actually fought against and investigated and put out of business in many cases people and organizations that really were a threat to our country. The mafia, the Communist Party, the KKK, right? They infiltrated the KKK in the 60s and they brought them under. The Black Panthers, you could say, Operation COINTELPRO. I remember the left would pound their chest on that. You don't hear them talking too much now, do you? Mainly because at this point, the FBI has become a rogue agency. They are now part of this, what Michael Glennon calls the double government, what President Trump calls the deep state, what President Eisenhower called the military-industrial complex, what President Martin Van Buren called the money power. I mean, this isn't new. It's just become more legalized, more official, and more enthroned to the point where they really are a double government, and that they really do threaten to run things directly. Even Obama once, I mean, according to Glennon, he had a meeting where he asked the opinion of all of the intelligence officers sitting around the table, should I do X, Y, and Z? I could call it up. I'll do it maybe later. But they all sat there stony-faced. They wouldn't answer the question because they didn't agree with him. I mean, they have that kind of power, right? They are rogue at this point. And certainly since their outright politicization and weaponization, starting with, I would suggest, the appointment of Robert Mueller as FBI director, and then his successor, James Comey, and now this guy, Christopher Wray, they have now begun to investigate Americans. Not KKK people who are involved with a secret society that wants to overthrow the government, or the Black Panthers, which was a communist group. No, they're investigating mothers and fathers going to school board meetings because they're concerned about racially divisive education modalities. They're concerned about their children wearing these masks and being penalized if they don't. They're concerned about children getting sex change operations without them knowing it, right? These are genuine political questions. These are not domestic terrorists, but yet the government views them that way, and the FBI views them that way. I would also argue that in this insane and frenzied and completely irrational attempt to take out Donald J. Trump as president of the United States, and of course, the people on the inside were winning and they knew why they were doing it, but there was an element that wasn't. They became so weaponized that they were showing up, like, for example, at Roger Stone's door at 5 o'clock in the morning, hauling him out of bed in his underwear, trotting him out onto the street. His wife, who happened to be deaf, these are elderly people. He never did a crime in his life. Right. I mean, you know, if they wanted some information from him, they could have simply called him or called his lawyer. That's how we used to do it in this country. Right. No, instead, they're pulling him out on the street and they've got CNN filming the whole thing. And, you know, I started this little dialogue by noting that I believe, and it's simply an opinion, that we are undergoing, I don't want to use the word brainwashing, I would say mental manipulation, mind control. And that one of the proofs of that, I would suggest, besides the overall cult of Trump derangement, which is bizarre and which is irrational, ask somebody really why they hate Trump, they can't explain it. But they're consumed by it. I've seen this. I know people like this. But to make the point specifically as an illustration, I would note that the Roger Stone incident filmed by CNN was applauded. Oh, this is great. This is justice, they thought. People felt like, you know, it was like a good thing. And that to me is evidence, if there ever was any, that we are in an age when techniques of mind control, techniques of brainwashing, techniques of mass manipulation are enthroned to the point where people really have lost their, you know, I don't want to say lost their souls. We all have a soul. You know, as a Jew, I believe that every human being has a soul and you cannot function without a soul. But we've been compromised. We've been mentally, spiritually compromised if we believe that those things are good. It shows that there is a sickness permeating our society like a cancer. Now, that doesn't mean individuals are sick. They're not. And people are waking up. But we have methodologies and modalities that are now being employed by the ruling elites, the oligarchs, and that they're doing it in a manner that is more successful than ever. And we could talk about several other aspects of this. I mean, I could get into the pandemic. I could get, you know, a lot of things, and I'm going to be getting into these things as I roll out this program. Anyway, you're welcome to come on down. You're welcome to join the show. What is in your mind? I mean, I will entertain anything that you want to talk about within community standards. I don't censor, but at the same time, if you go into stuff that's not really, you know, appropriate for radio, and I'm an old radio host and I know what that is, then I'll ask you not to do it. And if you do it, I'll have to say goodbye to you. But otherwise, come on down, join the show. I'm very pleased to be here and I'm pleased to be doing it. 617-396-4958. 617-396-4958. Or you can join the live chat, excuse me, at rumble.com/Moskowitz. Again, I believe I'm live on Twitter, both as an audio, and we're doing the Twitter club. And I'm live today, I believe, on Instagram too. and what else? Telegram. So I'm expanding the show. I also am building up my TikTok again. I've been kicked off TikTok twice, mainly because I was talking about the election. That's forbidden on TikTok. But I reestablished another TikTok station. And once I reach 10,000 followers on TikTok, then I will be able to run this show live there as well. So if you're into TikTok, please subscribe to me there. Charles Moskowitz, please subscribe to me at Rumble. And I want to again thank TECN Television, the Exceptional Conservative Network, for having me on, assuming I am. And I will verify that later today once I go off the air. And Ken McClanton, he's a gentleman. He's a great talk show host. He's the owner of that station. And I'm grateful that he's doing that he's giving me this opportunity for sure, and that he's doing what he's doing. You know, it's very important. So another issue I'd like to bring up is the protests in Brazil. These are freedom fighters. I think that it's proof of what I'm saying with regard to the media control that the world is experiencing right now by the oligarchy, that the lead up to that election between Bolsonaro and Lula, there were, or immediately after the election was believed to have been stolen, and I believe it was, but whether you believe that or not, the fact is that in the immediate aftermath of that election, something like 3 million people from all parts of the country hit the streets protesting. Possibly one of the largest protests in world history, actually, in terms of the sheer numbers. And barely a word was spoken about it by the mainstream media. The American people had no idea what was going on, unless they listened to Steve Bannon, unless they listened to his reporters over there, Malcolm Termond, I believe his name is, who's covering this. They didn't know what was going on. People, it was complete blackout. Well, now they're covering it. Now they're covering it. Now that Lula, who is a convicted felon and who is a communist and who is backed by the communist Chinese, and who was let out of prison, he was serving a prison sentence, convicted of embezzlement and of taking bribes from Petrobras Oil Company, which is the prime stake owned ownership is communist China. And which, by the way, people who are worried about the Amazon planning on doing oil drilling, right? After he was convicted and removed from office, and his successor, Dilma Rudolph, was also convicted and removed from office, both of them were serving prison sentences. Even Obama admitted that Lula was corrupt. All of a sudden, after Bolsonaro is elected, and as he starts to finally bring some reform to that country and reassert their sovereignty, Lula is plucked out of prison by this corrupt communist Supreme Court judge. I think Alexandre Moraes, I believe his name is. In order to run for office in Brazil, you can't have a criminal record. So he expunged it. He just erased it. And then he was installed by means of a completely electronic election. Now, I want to be careful here because this is even a no-no for these venues to discuss this, I think. It makes me nervous to discuss this. Anyone who criticizes the company, and I think we know who I'm talking about, that runs these machines, faces possible lawsuits. They don't, you know, they don't take it lying down. It's a company that started allegedly in Venezuela and helped the election of Victor Hugo Hugo Chavez, I'm sorry, Victor Hugo, Hugo Chavez, who was also a communist and who brought his country from one of the best economies in Latin America and an oil-rich country to the point where people can't even get a friggin' roll of toilet paper. It's a horrible, horrible disgrace. And anyway, so the election was run completely through these machines. Lula had no support. The machines indicated that Lula had received 100% of the vote in the Amazon provinces. Thousands of people in the Amazon have said, no, we voted for Bolsonaro. Apparently, Bolsonaro is well respected and popular amongst the indigenous people of Brazil in the Amazon. And it was obviously stolen. I mean, in this country, they don't do it quite that blatantly. I mean, can you imagine if there was a precinct where Biden got 100% of the vote? I mean, I think that did happen with Obama's second term. There were a couple of precincts in some of the swing states and the big cities, which are run by these rotten, corrupt Democrat machines, where Obama got like 98%, 99%. I think in some cases he got more than 100% of the vote. No wonder they're so corrupt. No wonder these places are so rotten. But no, I mean, in Brazil, they're much more blatant about it. They don't care about the appearance. They just did this. And so Bolsonaro, there was talk about the military basically suspending using an article in the Constitution to stop this subversion. They didn't do it. Bolsonaro left the country because they wanted to basically put him in prison because of they claimed he engaged in quote unquote fake news unquote because of his policies on the COVID-19 pandemic, which actually are no different than the policies of Sweden. And so he left the country. And now there's this massive protest erupting, which was predictable. One of the aspects of the protest has been the invasion of the Brazilian Capitol building and Supreme Court building in Brasilia, where people have damaged some of the artifacts and the artwork, and where you see videos and photos of people sitting on the dais and waving the flag. And it kind of looks a little bit like the people that had the incursion into the U.S. Capitol building on the 6th of January of 2021. And that's exactly what the media is saying about it. Now, all of a sudden, they've decided to recognize this. They've decided that, yeah, this is a problem. But they're crafting the message in a way that suits their agenda. They're going to use it to not only to smear these patriots, but also attack Trump again. Maybe they're going to have another. You think they might pull off another impeachment? I don't know. Why not? Of course, I don't know if they were expecting this little piece of news coming out of the Biden administration that he is purloining top secret documents. That's not good. I don't know. Maybe they'll raid his house now. You think the FBI is going to show up with a SWAT team, go through his wife's underwear drawer? I don't know. I doubt it. But putting that aside, the fact is that people on the ground, people who are reporting on this, are noting that you've got the same lefties, the same agent provocateurs, possibly the same type of federal agents who are the ringleaders of this stuff, you know, who are the ones who are entering the, you know, like Ray Epps was saying, you got to go into the Capitol, he's saying. You know, you have that same phenomena as a way to play into this particular narrative, as a way to not only make the millions of people who are protesting this communist takeover, not only make them look bad, but criminalize them. Say that they're subversive. Say that they're, you know, they're insurrectionists. Say that they are what the left actually is. Say that they're doing what the left actually did do. It is trying to do there, just like in this country. And by my suggesting that, I'm not just saying that. They have set up a massive concentration camp in Brasilia, where they have now detained over 1,000 people, according to eyewitnesses who are reporting into the Bannon program. There have already been 2 deaths. There's gunfire. There are elderly people being held, children being held. It's worse than the gulag in Washington, D.C., right? Where people have been held for 2 years because they happen to step on the Capitol grounds. And, but, you know, the fight goes on there. I think that a lot's at stake there. Communist China will almost have a complete control of Latin America if this coup is allowed to go forward. Now, I don't know what the answer is to stopping it, but I applaud the people of Brazil who are trying to assert their freedom. And I think that this is a movement. It's a populist, nationalist, libertarian, conservative movement that is spreading across the world. And that the elites, with all their techniques of military control, their mind control, their manipulation of the media, their manipulation of people's emotions and their brains, they still have not controlled it. They still have not been able to suppress the human spirit. And that's because they are not God. That's because enough people are awake and they understand, and we understand, and I understand that we don't bow to anybody but God. We don't bow to the state. We don't bow to the dictator. We bow to the creator of the universe. Blessed be he. Anyway, I think I'm going to wrap it up at this point. I've got guests coming on. I want to thank you all for joining me. You're welcome to get in one final, not that it's a final, I didn't get any, but if you want to call the program, you're welcome to do it. I'm at 617-396-4958. That number again, 617-396-4958. Write it down. Maybe call tomorrow. I'm going to be doing this program Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I will be live on TECN-TV, the Exceptional Conservative Network. Thank God. I'm assuming everything is functioning over there. We'll see. And on my own website, charlesmoskowitz.com, and all of my subscribing stations, and that number is growing. I mean, I'm on, besides, you know, my own social network, LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, and now as of today, Instagram and Telegram, Twitch, bunch of others, everyone but YouTube, and soon TikTok if I can get enough subscribers over there. So my goal is to build a program that has real clout in terms of people's brains and intellects coming together and discussing issues every day and having interesting guests and interesting conversations. That's my goal. It's that simple. It's a modest goal. I also would again mention that the program is sponsored by yours truly. I'm an author. I have over 20 books are available at Amazon Books. You can find out what they are. And there's a cross-section of issues. I've done books on culture, on politics. I've written a book on Judaism. I've written a book on Islam, communism, you know, capitalism, And you can check them out on my book page by going to Amazon Books and putting my name in the server, Charles Moskowitz, like Moscow with an I-T-Z. And by the way, the name means, my daughter recently did some research on this, the name means son of Moses, I'm pleased to say. So anyway, but my latest book, which I just published just a few weeks ago, is now available both as a soft cover, hardcover, and ebook on Amazon Books. I'm going to hold it up to the camera. The Populist Wave, The Origin and Rise of American Nationalism and Populism. And by the way, something I like to talk about is how to write a book, because in this day and age, it's actually fairly easy to write a book, and it can be quite profitable, frankly. You know, it's there's a lot of things that you can draw from when you put together a manuscript, and you can publish it on Amazon. I don't know, man, I'm not endorsing the company Amazon, but they do a good job, okay? They really know how to put together a book. And I just would note that if you feel passionate about a topic, whatever it is, there is no better way to clarify your thinking and to dig deep and go into it than writing a book. It's very doable. It really is. And yeah, I'm happy to talk with people about how I do it, what my process is. And I've guided people over time in their own attempt to write their own books on any number of subjects. There's millions of subjects under the sun that you can pick to write books. So to wrap it up for today, we went over the deep state, how I define it, how Professor Michael J. Glennon defines it in his book, National Security and Double Government, and how I think that we have a small strike against it right now, thank God, with the advent of the new Republican Congress under Kevin McCarthy as Speaker, in that they have now defunded the hiring of 63,000 FBI agents, not FBI, IRS agents, so that we won't have them harassing us. That's a good thing. That's a step in the right direction. We can continue to pray and we continue to be active. There is talk about developing a church-like committee hearing on the weaponization of the national security apparatus. Hallelujah! That is fantastic. And I think that Jim Jordan is someone who really could do that. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm nervous about whether or not it'll happen, but hey, you know, I mean, in this day and age, we have to savor the victories we have and enjoy the little bits of pieces of good news in our public life. That I hope matches our private lives, which I think are good for the most part. They're normal. I think we're all still free people and we all still have our own destinies to a large extent. I'm thank God we live in this country. So those are all good things. Those are good developments that we will be following. Let's hope that that all moves forward and let's just buckle our seatbelts and watch. I mean, now that Biden is being hammered by this crazy scandal where he was purloining documents that are top secret and that had apparently to do with Ukraine and Russia or Ukraine and Iran in his private office. Hey, is the FBI going to show up and go through his wife's underwear drawer now like they did to Trump? I don't know. I doubt it. So that's what we discussed today. We also touched upon the rise in heart attacks amongst athletes in light of the heart attack of Buffalo Bills player DeMar Hamlin, very tragic. And that statistics indicate that in the past 23 months, there has been more deaths by heart attack of athletes, and those are only the ones we know about, than there were in the previous 50 years. We can speculate on why that is. I think we know these things just don't happen out, as an accident. There is a cause and effect. And all I can say is that thank God you have people like Elon Musk lifting censorship at Twitter and releasing information. Apparently he's releasing a tranche of information now having to do with the cover-up around the vaccines and the pandemic, which is, we're only getting the tip of the iceberg on that one. And that once we end up going back to being Americans, exercising our free speech and engaging in free speech and getting information that can help us and see the world as it is, then maybe we have a chance to get to the truth and to identify what's evil and wrong. So I want to again thank you for joining me today. I shall return tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I am committed to doing the program Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m. If you'd like to communicate with me, please send me an email at charlesmoskowitz@gmail.com. I've got guests I'm lining up for the program. If you'd like to recommend someone, please do. If you want to chat, please go to my Rumble station, rumble.com/Moskowitz, and please sign up at Rumble. I'd appreciate that. I want to again thank the great people at TECN-TV, the Exceptional Conservative Network, for carrying the program. I'm hoping that everything went well today. There's still a few technical glitches, but we're going to work it out. It's going to happen. So thank you to Ken McClanton over at TECN/TV. Please check out their website at TECN/TV. And, check out all of their excellent programming. It's a great station. I'm looking forward to growing with them and growing this program with them as the weeks and months and the year unfolds. I'm optimistic as we have a breath of freedom, both because of Mr. Musk at Twitter, which could set the whole rotten apple cart of censorship falling down, and because of the Republican takeover of the House, which is significant, which would have been bigger, in my opinion, had you didn't have rhinos like McConnell and you didn't have stuff, some chicanery going on. We'll get into all of that as the weeks go on. I intend to let all of that information be heard as best I can. So again, thank you for joining me today. And please support the program by buying my books. They're not expensive. The ebooks are only a few bucks. I'm going to hold the book up again. The Populist Wave, The Origin and Rise of American Nationalism and Populism. That's the name of the book. And I'm proud of it. I love writing books. Check it out. And please contact me, by the way, if you'd like to get some insights on how to write a book. I mean, I really love to help people who want to write. And you can do that, of course, by emailing me at charlesmoskowitz@gmail.com. I'm always working on a book. I find that it's something that is just part of what I do. I've written over 20 at this point. And I've just started a new book, which is about my own tribe, if you will, of Judaism. I'm talking about Jexit, the Jewish exit from the left. You've heard of Brexit? Well, this is Jexit. Wishful thinking? Yes, maybe, but I'll have to tell you that as I travel around the circles of my fellow Jews, people whisper to me, Chuck, Charles, don't tell anybody, but we're with you. Just don't tell anybody. Because everyone knows I'm conservative. I'm very public about it. You can't get more public than running for Congress against Barney Frank in Massachusetts. Everybody knows. I mean, that was covered by the Globe. This was in 2004. So I'm a known entity in this state. I can't hide. Even though actually I did have to change my name to Moskowitz, which was the name of my grandfather and his before he changed it. So I've gone back to the Jewish name, which is interesting. People are like, what? But that's where I am. And the basic thesis that I'm developing for this book is that Judaism is a conservative faith and we are a conservative people. We just need to wake up to our own agency and who we are. And there are Jews who are waking up, I believe. The establishment is rotten. It's very left-wing, but it can be challenged, and God willing, it will be challenged by us. So, again, God bless you all. God bless this great country. God bless America. And let's keep the faith. Thank you very much for joining me, everybody.